Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the S&P 500 looks to make it three straight winning sessions to start the week.
Netflix shares soar as user growth signals the worst is over.
In the UK, inflation surges to double digits.
And President Biden plans to announce he's tapping into the strategic oil reserves.
The latest polls show New York's governor's race has tightened, plus Georgia voters turned out in record numbers on the first day of early ballots. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Guardians. They start the ALCS tonight in Houston. The Phillies shut out the Padres. Wins for the Devils and Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures, little change this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, little change. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures up 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 13 32nds. Yield 4.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.48%. And NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.33% at $83.11 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, the S&P 500 is coming off back-to-back wins to start the week. The index is up 3.8% in just 2 days. However, Max Kettner, chief multi-asset strategist at HSBC, thinks stocks will remain under pressure and the Fed will not change course.
The point for me is that the Fed is really only going to pivot, in my view, when things are going to go horribly wrong. Not just wrong, but really, and I have to emphasize that, horribly wrong, right? So it will not be sufficient if we see 1, 2, 3 months of a bit worse than economic data, right? And, oh, maybe we're going to go into recession now. That will not be sufficient.
HSBC's Max Kettner says he would fade this rally in stocks.
Well, Nathan, the rise in equities this week has been fueled by a solid start to earnings season, and it continued after the bell with Netflix. The streaming leader added a better-than-expected 2.4 million customers in the third quarter. Reed Hastings is co-founder and chairman of Netflix.
Well, thank God we're done with shrinking quarters. So that's a big feeling of we're back to the positivity. We still got FX, so that's a huge hit, as we've explained. So that's not going to go away. But other than that, all the stars are lining up very well for us.
Netflix chairman Reed Hastings says the company expects to add another 4.5 million global subscribers this period, despite headwinds from foreign exchange.
Well, let's look at some other stocks on the move following earnings, Karen. Shares of United Airlines are up 5.5%. The airline sees profit well above estimates in the final quarter of the year. That's being fueled by a rebound in corporate travel and leisure trips. We're also watching shares of Adobe this morning. The maker of creative design software reiterated its forecast for the current quarter, and that is relieving fears economic uncertainty would hinder demand.
Well, up next, Nathan, the earnings continue with results from 20 companies in the S&P 500. The biggest name on today's list is Tesla. We get a preview of those numbers from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Shares of the electric car maker have been under pressure ever since the company reported third-quarter delivery figures that fell short of forecasts. Today's report will get close scrutiny. Investors will look beyond sales, earnings, and profit margins. Bullish fourth-quarter delivery guidance would be especially welcome. Bloomberg Intelligence says the 40% plunge in Tesla's stock could make this a good time for the company to initiate capital returns without hurting its balance sheet. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Turning to the economy now, do not look for a pause in rate hikes from the Fed. That's according to Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari, who says the central bank must continue tightening as inflation remains hot.
If we don't see progress in underlying inflation or core inflation, I don't see why I would advocate stopping at 4.5 or 4.75 or something like that.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says he sees interest rates reaching the mid-4s early next year.
Meantime, Nathan, the Fed will hand out a grade on the health of the U.S. economy today with the release of its regional beige book. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Today's beige book, based on anecdotal reports in the Fed's 12 district banks, will help set the stage for November's policy meeting. Bloomberg Economics notes the prior beige book in early September indicated little change. On balance, the most lackluster showing of the pandemic recovery but not yet alarming. The next Fed policy session is set for November 1st and 2nd, and economists anticipate another interest rate hike aimed at containing inflation. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. We're also seeing inflation soar in the UK. For more on today's red hot price reading, let's go live to London and check in with Bloomberg's James Woolcock. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Soaring inflation indeed. Price rises hit a four-decade high of 10.1% year-on-year through September. That's slightly above what economists forecast. It's a call to arms for the Bank of England after the central bank has found itself distracted by chaos in the UK bond market. September's inflation figure is also used as the baseline to increase state welfare payments and pensions. So that increase puts more pressure on the UK government's fiscal policy as Prime Minister Liz Truss tries to balance the books. In London, James Woolcock, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, James, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the Biden administration is making more moves to lower gas prices. Later today, the president announces another 15 million barrels coming out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But still, Bob McNally, founder and president of Rapidan Energy, says it might not be enough.
Going against OPEC Plus with the SPR is like going into a fight with with guys with AK-47s with a squirt gun, right? Oh, it's a finite resource. You get to use it once. And I think this is going to make the coming boom cycle in oil prices even boomier.
Rapidan Energy President Bob McNally spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. And checking crude prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% at $83.14 a barrel. Brent is at $90.08.
Finally, Karen, criticism of the PIMCO Total Return Bond Fund from the man who created it. We're talking about Bill Gross, who was ousted from PIMCO in 2014. Gross says many of the funds that bear the name are failing to live up to their mission after suffering heavy losses this year. Gross says instead of helping to cushion the market downturn, they have clung to their benchmarks too closely, essentially becoming quasi-index tracking strategies. S&P futures right now are a little changed up 2 points. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures are higher by 31 points. 10-year treasuries down 11/32, the yield 4.05%. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. 5:07 on Wall Street, 43 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash southbound New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes at exit 7. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Midterms are just a few weeks away, and now another race that Democrats once thought was a slam dunk could be in play. In New York, Republican Lee Zeldin is in a statistical dead heat with Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. More from Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Michael, it kind of all depends on which poll you want to believe at this point, because a new Quinnipiac poll shows Hochul's lead narrowing to just 4 percentage points. Her campaign, though, says this Quinnipiac poll undercounted likely Democratic voters. Former President Trump recently endorsed Zeldin, and the Quinnipiac poll shows Zeldin has a solid lead among independents. The Long Island congressman also has gained in a real clear average of polls, but Hochul still leads by close to 10 percentage points in a 538 poll average, and recent Siena and Marist College polls show her ahead by even more. Michael.
Thank you, Denise. Georgia, with several high-profile races, has set a record on the first day of early in-person voting. More than 133,000 votes were cast Monday, an 87% increase from the first day of early in-person voting in 2018. Tents intended to provide temporary shelter to migrants opened today in New York City, the first of a series of makeshift centers to house an influx of tens of thousands of Central and South Americans. The new relief center, located on Randall's Island, is intended to house and provide food, water, medical care, and COVID tests when migrants first arrive in New York. Zach Iskol is the emergency management commissioner.
When people get off the bus at the Port Authority, we have a very limited amount of time. We have 45 minutes to an hour where we are figuring out what people's immediate medical needs are.
There will be a 10 p.m. curfew. Former President Trump is scheduled to sit for a deposition and answer questions under oath from attorneys for E. Jean Carroll, a former columnist at Elle magazine. Carroll has sued Trump for defaming her when he denied her rape claim from the 1990s. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Report, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks to Nathan. A decisive Game 5 of the ALDS. Rained out Monday night at the stadium, played yesterday afternoon, and decided early on. The Guardians made the somewhat Surprising decision to start Aaron Savale. The Yankees had teed off on him twice in the regular season. He faced only five batters, got only one out, gave up a Giancarlo Stanton three-run homer, and the Yanks were on their way to a 5-1 win over Cleveland. Aaron Judge also homered, and the Yanks' decision to start Nestor Cortes on 3 days rest, that worked well. So the Yanks able to come back from the 2-1 deficit, and now it's on to Houston with Aaron Boone's team playing game one of the ALCS tonight.
Challenges, we're facing a great team, you know, as far as the quick turnaround, we'll be fine. I mean, that's baseball. We do that all the time. You know, we'll walk in there with some confidence. We know they're a great team and rested and ready, and we look forward to the challenge.
Three times the Astros have ended the Yankee season, a 2015 wild card game, and in the ALCS in both 2017 and 19. Yanks start Jameson Taillon tonight, and the Astros start Justin Verlander. Game one of the NLCS in San Diego. Fewest hits ever in a postseason game. The Phillies had three, but two of them were solo homers. The Padres had only one hit. The Phils won 2-0. They're now 6-1 in the postseason. NBA season underway. Home wins by Boston and Golden State. Knicks open up tonight in Memphis. The Nets home for New Orleans. Devils and Islanders both won at home. The Colts, Jim Irsay, the first NFL owner to say publicly there is merit to the league removing ownership from Washington's Dan Snyder. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John. Thank you. S&P futures moving a touch higher now. They're up 5 points. Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning, up 37 points now. 10-year Treasury is down 13/32. Yield 4.06%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.48. NYMEX crude is higher by 0.9%, up 73 cents, $83.55 a barrel. President Biden expected to announce another strategic oil release later today. Netflix shares surging in the pre-market, up nearly 13% on earnings. We'll talk about it next with Bloomberg Quick Takes, Alex Webb. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are slipping and U.S. stock index futures are higher after giving up gains on worries about inflation and a looming recession. The pound is falling after U.K. inflation rose faster than economists were looking for. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures little change. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 13/32. Yield 4.06%. And the yield on the 2-year 4.48%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% of 84 cents at $83.66 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $10 at $16.45.80 an ounce. The euro 0.9820 against the dollar. British pound 1.1274 and the yen 149.43. Looking at Bitcoin this morning, lower down 0.7% at $19,200. Today we are watching for reports on housing starts and building permits at 8:30 Wall Street time, and the Federal Reserve releases its beige book at 2, and Tesla's among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Biden is opening the oil spigot again. President Biden today will announce another strategic oil reserve release designed to help bring down the price of gas. He could release another 15 million barrels of oil. A key Ukrainian city has been warned Russia is planning relentless attacks in the coming days. People in Kherson are being told to get out now. In baseball, the Yankees are getting ready to face the Astros in the ALCS. New York beat the Guardians 5-1 to advance. In game one of the NLCS, the Phillies shut out the Padres 2-0. In the opening night of the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. In hockey, the Devils and Islanders won. The Bruins lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We had to peel our eyes away from what's streaming on Netflix this morning to see how the stock's doing. It is surging. with the streaming giant once again reporting subscriber growth. How about that? First time this year, in fact, it's added subscribers. Let's bring in Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb to dive deeper into these positive results for Netflix, and it certainly seems like investors see it that way, Alex, with the shares up 12 2/3% in this pre-market. So does this sort of negate the narrative that had taken hold so far this year that we'd hit peak streaming?
I don't know if it negates it fully. You know, the stock is, even with that anticipated 12% bump, is still down some 60% from its peak in November last year. But it is clearly good news for Netflix investors. This has for a long time been valued as a growth stock, so if they're not growing, then investors struggle to know how to value it. The story does, though, seem to be a lot of it focused on this new ads tier that they are introducing, and not only does that help them add new, it serves three purposes fundamentally. It helps them add subscribers at a lower cost to the subscriber. The actual revenue they can make from that subscriber is potentially more than they make from their current basic tier, because they could be adding $5 or $6 a month in advertising revenue for each subscriber. And thirdly, it just reinvigorates the growth story that then should drive the stock if they prove successful.
How does that position Netflix, though, against some of its competitors, that some of which have already been experimenting with or fully embracing an ad-supported model?
It certainly gives them a little bit more of a buttress. The big challenge is going to be how they execute this, because the others who are doing this, some people have been doing it for a long time. You think about, there are some entirely ad-funded streaming services. They call them FAST, fast, free, ad-supported television, which is, as far as I'm concerned, just television. they have been around for a while, but they've also built out the ads infrastructure. Think about Disney, which obviously owns Disney Plus, but also Hulu. They've got a huge advertising network because they also own ABC and ESPN and plenty of other classic television stations besides. So Netflix is starting from nowhere. It's working with Microsoft and a few others. Microsoft also not massive in this space in terms of video streaming ads. So how it executes is going to be the big question, to see if it can get close to the $6.50 that Hulu makes in ads per subscriber.
What about the content race? Does Netflix still have an advantage there? I mean, they talked in the earnings call about some of the successes they've had with the latest season of Stranger Things, and even with some of the non-English speaking content that they put out there. Where is Netflix when it comes to the content race?
Well, I mean, actually, the challenge that Netflix has is that it doesn't have an advantage, right? Because it doesn't have the catalogs that the established, traditional broadcasters have. It doesn't, have a back catalog stretching back half a century or even a full century. What it does have is the ability to spend quite a lot of capital on new shows. And there had been something of a fallow patch, partly to do with the virus and inability to make as many shows as they'd wanted. There are a lot of these films and productions now coming, being released, particularly in Asia, which is a huge growth opportunity for them. They've really doubled down on their Korean content. Of course, we know about the big hits they've already had there. They've got another one which came out in the most recent quarter called The Extraordinary Attorney Woo. Mm-hmm. These are shows that help drive growth in markets where they are not as well penetrated as they are in the U.S.
Just about 30 seconds left here, but when it comes to putting out that content, I mean, Reed Hastings mentioned that the currency challenges could be a headwind as well. How big a headwind could that be?
I mean, they've said in the fourth quarter it's going to be a challenge, that it should get a little bit better in the first half of next year. It is interesting, though, that they feel the need to make these comments, where in the past, that was probably stuff around the edges that didn't matter so much. So it does speak to the fact that it's not all plain sailing just yet, that things remained a little bit straightened.
But at least for now, the shares are moving higher by 12.6% following a return to subscriber growth. 2.4 million new subscribers added in this latest quarter. Alex Webb of Bloomberg Quick Take, as always, great to get your insights on what's happening in the tech space. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures looking for a little bit of direction now. S&P futures are a little changed, up 2 points. Dow futures back in the red, but not by much, down 13 points. NASDAQ futures are higher by 27 points, so pulling back on some of the earlier gains in the pre-market session. 10-year Treasury is down 12 32nds for a yield of 4.05%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny, breezy, mid-50s today. We're going to start to warm up just a bit as we head through the rest of this week. Sunshine tomorrow, upper 50s, low 60s by Friday. Chilly now, 43 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/managers.
Well, we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The S&P 500 has rallied two straight days to start the week. So have we seen a bottom? ER Shares chief investment strategist Eva Ado says no, but rallies like this could continue through December.
It's hard to time the bottom, but I would say we're closer to it than not. And I expect to see the market end the year higher. We might even see a Christmas rally. By then, we'll see the Fed getting inflation under control, and we expect inflation to drop next year.
Eva Ados with ER Shares expects tech and healthcare stocks to bounce back as inflation cools.
Well, the rise in stocks has been fueled by a solid start to earnings season, Karen. It continued yesterday with Netflix, which added a better-than-expected 2.4 million customers in the third quarter. Geetha Ranganathan covers Netflix for Bloomberg Intelligence.
They're finally back to growth, and their guidance right now, again, pretty much in line. And what's really encouraging to me about that 4Q guidance is that they say that they've really not baked in any of those ad tier expectations. So there is potentially a lot of upside to that guidance as well.
Geetha Ranganathan with Bloomberg Intelligence says Netflix is set up for a strong fourth quarter.
Well, other stocks in the move this morning include United Airlines. Shares are up more than 6%, but the airline seeing fourth quarter profit above estimate. Shares of Adobe also higher after the creative design software company reiterated its forecast for the current quarter.
So, Karen, sticky inflation is dampening sentiment. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says he expects the central bank to keep hiking rates as prices climb.
The core services inflation, which is the stickiest of all, keeps climbing. And we kept getting surprised on the upside that core keeps going up and services keeps going up. The problem for me with trying to say, hey, it's time to pause, is we're not even sure that we've got rates high enough to push services inflation down.
Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari says the Fed could raise rates beyond 4.5% if core inflation keeps rising.
And inflation is also coming in hot in the UK, Nathan. Consumer prices in Britain rose 10.1% last month, driven by rising food prices. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures are up about 10 points. Dow futures up 38. NASDAQ futures up 52. The 10-year Treasury down 12 32nds, yield 4.05%. Your local headlines straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 42 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with that crash southbound New Jersey Turnpike, truck lanes exit 7. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City officials say that an emergency center to house some of the migrants being bused in from border states is set to open today. The center will offer temporary shelter in tents on Randall's Island. The Humanitarian Relief Center will start taking single adult men this week with facilities including laundry, meals, and access to international phone calls. Zach Iskol is the Emergency Management Commissioner.
There are a lot of people who we are trying to link up with families, with sponsors. There's a lot of people that are trying to get to another location. Often the easiest way to get out of El Paso, for example, is a bus ticket to New York. We've even had somebody that came to New York trying to get to San Antonio.
Emergency Management Commissioner Zach Iskol says families with children are to be housed in a hotel. We've learned that Georgia voters turned out in record numbers on the first day of early in-person voting in the state. With 3 weeks to go before the November 8th election, more than 133,000 votes were cast Monday, an 87% increase from the first day of early in-person voting in 2018. Florida Democratic Congresswoman Val Demings faced off against Republican Senator Marco Rubio in their first debate for Rubio's seat. On WPBF, the two sparred over abortion rights, Rubio defending his support for banning abortion with exceptions.
Every bill I've ever sponsored on abortion, every bill I've ever voted for, has exceptions. Every one of them does, because that's what can pass, and that's what the majority of people support.
Security along the border with Mexico was also an issue. Val Demings.
I think we can do that with technology, more boots on the ground, and more people to process those who need to be turned back, those who are breaking the law, from those who are asylum seekers.
Polls show Rubio has a slight lead over Demings going into the November elections. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stasher.
All right, Nathan, playing a game one day and another the next in another city. Happens all the time, just not when it's the start of a new playoff series. Monday's rainout forced it, so the Yankees, having come back from a 2-1 deficit in the ALDS, having won Game 5 over Cleveland 5-1 behind the pitching of Nestor Cortez. Home runs by Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. After the game and the celebration, flew to Houston. Start the ALCS tonight. Jameson Taillon against Justin Verlander. The Yankees trying to win the pennant and get some revenge on the Astros, who won the ALCS from them in both 2017 and 19. The Phillies keep winning. Last team into the postseason. They are 6-1. They won Game 1 of the NLCS in San Diego 2-0. The ex-Met Zach Wheeler teaming with two relievers on a one-hit shutout. Phils had only three hits, but got solo home runs from Bryce Harper, who's homered in three straight games, and Kyle Schwarber hit one nearly 500 feet. The Knicks open the season tonight in Memphis. Nick debut of Jalen Brunson. The Nets offseason had Kevin Durant demanding a trade that ended up not happening. The Nets tonight host New Orleans. First win for the Devils, 4-2 over Anaheim. Islanders beat San Jose 5-2. NFL owners met in New York, and the Colts' Jim Irsay weighed in on the league trying to oust embattled Washington owner Dan Snyder.
I believe that that's the road we probably need to go down, and we just need to finish the investigation. But it's gravely concerning to me, the things that have occurred there over the last 20 years.
Also yesterday, a reported shouting match took place between the two most high-profile owners, Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Trader Joe's being accused of illegally firing a Brooklyn employee in retaliation for union activism. That's according to a complaint from a group organizing workers at the grocery chain. No immediate comment from Trader about the charge. New Jersey suing five oil and gas giants. The state claims ExxonMobil, Shell, Chevron, BP, and ConocoPhillips all concealed knowledge fossil fuels could have a catastrophic effect on the climate, leading to extreme weather that's battered the state. ExxonMobil calls the suit a waste of taxpayer money. The push to grow startups in Connecticut intensifying. Connecticut State Community College announcing the launch of free statewide small business and startup seminars. And San Francisco-based Cookies SF, started by the rapper Burner, has grabbed its first New York City location. The Herald Square space will sell clothes, accessories, and CBD products. BizJournal says upper floors will be used for Cookies U, a training program for students pursuing cannabis careers. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thank you, Denise. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the rebound in subscriber growth at Netflix.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Fewer Americans are planning winter vacations due to inflation.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KYW listeners in Philadelphia, Wawa is getting pushback from suburban residents now.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the head of the Minneapolis Fed does not see a pause in interest rate hikes if inflation is is still accelerating.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WTAM in Cleveland, I'm reporting on why Ohio-based Procter & Gamble is a stock to watch today.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on UK inflation jumping back into double digits, with prices rising 10.1% in September.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. The U.S. healthcare system needs more nurses. Nursing schools aren't producing enough graduates. Young workers are quitting, and older ones are retiring early. Some researchers estimate that 1 million registered nurses will retire by 2030. To bolster the workforce, the U.S. should clear hurdles for qualified international talent. Consider an estimated 118,000 immigrants with undergraduate nursing degrees who are in the U.S. working below their skill level, many as low-paid assistants, home health aides, and domestic health. Streamlining their recredentialing would help boost staffing in times of immediate shortage. Prioritizing placement in underserved areas would also make sense. Tapping into the large pool of aspiring and qualified nurses already in the U.S. would bring out-of-whack labor market dynamics back to reality. It would also save money and ultimately save lives. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks little change. U.S. stock index futures are higher on a strong start to the earnings season. The pound falling after U.K. inflation rose faster than economists were looking for. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 44, NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 4.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%, up 95 cents at $83.77 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.7%, or $11.20 at $16.44.60 an ounce. The euro, 0.9810 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1265. And the yen, 149.47. And Bitcoin is down 0.7%. At $19,200. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russian strikes on energy utilities have left more Ukrainian villages, towns, and parts of two cities without power. The overnight bombings further tighten an energy squeeze on Ukraine that threatens misery for millions in winter. Today, President Biden is expected to authorize the release of 15 million more barrels of oil from the nation's energy stockpile in an attempt to bring down gas prices. In baseball, the Yankees are getting ready to face the Astros in the ALCS. New York beat the Guardians 5-1 to advance. In game one of the NLCS, the Phillies shut out the Padres 2-0. Opening night of the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. In hockey, the Devils and Islanders won. The Bruins lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Esti Dweck is with us to talk about this market, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. Esti, it's great to speak with you. Coming off two straight days of gains for Wall Street stocks, pretty solid gains as well. Has this market found bottom?
Hey, that is really the question everyone is would like to answer. I think it's too early to say that we found a bottom. or the bottom. A bottom is more likely. We have seen a little bit more of a consolidation in yields, I think. We've seen already the retreats this morning or since last night, and some of that is due to inflation in the UK and the yields that are rising in the UK and pulling them upwards elsewhere as well. And so until we start to see a calming in the yields, it's going to be difficult to be certain that we've reached the bottom, but it does feel like we're at more interesting levels.
More interesting levels. Interesting way to put it there. How much higher do you expect yields to go here? We just heard once again from another Fed speaker, former dove, now turned a pretty solid hawk, Neel Kashkari, saying rates might have to go higher than 4.5%. What could that mean for yields, Esty?
Well, at this point, we're already pricing in somewhere between 4.5% and 5%. So I think, and we've heard from a couple of different speakers, including Bullard on Friday, that the dot plot doesn't need to move at this point. November, I think, will stay very hawkish, and we get those 75. December, we get 50 to 75, depending on the couple of inflation data points we get until then. What the market is now hoping is that we'll have some kind of pause in 2023. We'll need to have inflation coming down over the next couple of months for that to happen. So I think the risk is maybe pushed back a little bit because we're already pricing in all of the rate hikes that are coming at the end of this year.
How are you viewing earnings season so far? We're a little bit early into it. It's come in, I think, a little bit better than a lot of analysts had expected. You mentioned interesting valuations. Is there anything in particular you're looking at?
Well, we've certainly had better numbers than expected. In some cases, we'd had sort of flashed guidance before, so it's, you know, less bad than feared or better than what they had announced. But overall, some of these numbers are still pretty encouraging, and it shows that the U.S. economy is holding up. So I think it's a positive in the sense that people really thought guidance was going to be slashed very aggressively during the quarter. As you say, it's still early days, but it doesn't look like it's happening. At the same time, we are going to need to have a little bit of softness in consumer spending and some of these labor market expectations for the Fed to be able to ease off the pedal over the next few months.
You know, in the last minute here, Esty, where do you see opportunity in this market?
You know, we'll have to see the next couple of weeks. We could see a consolidation. I do think we're going to get some improvement into the end of the year. I do think we're going to have to have some kind of pause just for the Fed to see. Now, it doesn't mean they stop and they go back to easing, but they might not be able to keep hiking 75 basis points for the first quarter or second quarter of 2023. So opportunities, I think, still in tech and generally in that equity market, I think it's starting to be interesting to buy these dips into the end of the year.
All right. As always, Esty, great to have you on with us. That's Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FloBank, with us this morning. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Internal Revenue Service released its annual inflation adjustments to the tax code. The changes are for the 2023 tax year and will generally apply to returns filed in 2024. The American Automobile Association is suing AAA Truck Agency, a truck insurance company, for trademark infringement. Colorado is drafting guidance for a first-in-the-nation refundable tax credit to encourage employers to offer eco-friendly options for commuter transportation.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thanks. And now another legal story. We're watching the copyright clash over Andy Warhol's series of silk screens of Prince is a case that could reshape the fair use defense to copyright infringement. The justices seem divided as they grappled with the photographer's claim that Warhol violated her copyright by basing his images on her 1981 photograph of Prince. For more, Bloomberg's Jim Grasso speaks to intellectual property litigator Terrence Ross, a partner at Kedden Muchin Rosenman.
Is the question whether Warhol's work transformed Goldsmith's photograph?
To understand what's going on here, one has to understand a little bit about the fair use defense. The fair use defense says courts should consider four non-exclusive factors. The very first factor, and what's widely regarded as the most important, is for the court to look at the purpose and character of the secondary use. And in a very famous decision, Second Circuit said that the key to this one factor is whether or not the secondary work somehow transformed the original work. And the Supreme Court has since bought into this transformative use test. I would say up on appeal here, Supreme Court, the question really is what is required for a work to be transformative? How do you transform a work in such a way that the fair use defense applies? There are many transformative uses that do not constitute fair use. And so the key here at issue for the Supreme Court is to give some sort of guidance to the lower courts.
Both sides say the potential stakes here are enormous, not just on the art world, but on publishing, on movies, and so on. Are they exaggerating, or do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be one of the most significant decisions with respect to secondary works of all time in Anglo-Saxon law. At issue is control of the original work by the artist for the original work. And to the extent that this is held to be not a fair use, I think the critics are correct that that will mean that the original artists have much more control over their works. The question is whether or not the next step in that argument is correct. Does giving the original artist more control over the work inhibit future creativity? And as we heard in the oral argument, there was a lot of discussion of licensing. Doesn't the right to license these original works to make changes allow you to still engage in level of creativity? Look, you had very wealthy entities involved here. You had Vanity Fair, Andy Warhol. They clearly had the wherewithal to license the photograph again from Lynn Goldsmith in order to do these 16 colorized silk screens, but they deliberately chose not to. So yes, there is going to be a change in the bargaining power amongst artists as to secondary uses of original works.
And that's Terrence Ross, a partner at Ken & Muchin Rosenman, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures are up 17 points this morning. Dow futures up 82 and NASDAQ futures up 83. 10-year Treasury is down 12 32nds, yield 4.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.